Hold up, wait a minute. Here we go. Oh, wait, I can actually fix this. Oh, excuse me. Okay, 1 second. Oh, God. Okay. Ah! My name is Dulce Valencia, and welcome to Telenovelas con Dulce, the podcast where each week I guide you through the dramatic world of telenovelas, covering everything from the plot, the insults, the secret twins, and the unforgettable love stories in between. This is a podcast made for telenovela lovers just like me. Bienvenidos and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Dulce Valencia. How are you doing, dear listener? I hope you're doing well. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about a telenovela that's quite newer than the ones I've been covering lately, and it's a telenovela called Celia. I'll talk more about it in a bit, but first, just like a little bit of announcements, I suppose. So one, I'm actually not doing this on YouTube anymore. Okay, so first of all, I was recording podcast episodes and then simultaneously like recording with my camera, and then it was just getting a lot of work to post them on YouTube. So instead, what I'm doing now is I'm going back to strictly it being audio only. So shout out to you for listening. But also because of this, I'm still gonna keep my YouTube channel, obviously, but I'm gonna be, the videos I post there are gonna be a little different. They're gonna be more like, there's this video I have there that was talking about the differences between Teresa and Ruby. It's in Spanish and it actually did really, really well. And so I think I want to do more videos like that in both English and Spanish. So but those take more effort, they take more editing skills, and so I'm going to be doing that and then doing this. But what that means, though, is y'all know how originally I said I was going to do like 10 episodes, and we're now on episode 7 of those 10 planned episodes, so I'm doing pretty good. And then I was going to take a break and then come back in the fall and then cover one telenovela. I'm still going to do that. However, instead of taking like a long break, I'm still going to post some audio episodes, but it won't be every week. It'll be more like once a month, maybe twice a month. And yeah, so that's the plan for now. Things may change. Let me know what you think. But without further ado, we're just going to dig in and talk about Celia. So for y'all to know, Celia, if you don't know, is a 2015 Telemundo telenovela that was produced by Fox Telecolombia for RCN Television and Telemundo. And as the title suggests, it is a version, a fictionalized version of the life of Celia Cruz, the iconic queen. The telenovela had 80 episodes, starred Jaime Osorio, Modesto Lacen, Carolina Gaitán, Aime, I think I'm not pronouncing her name right, but it's Aime or Aime, I'm not sure, Nubiola, Willy Denton, Abel Rodriguez, amongst others. Celia, the telenovela, chronicles Úrsula, Hilaria, Celia Caridad Cruz, Alfonso's evolution from a shy teen in pre-revolution Havana, Cuba, to a larger-than-life figure that brought the world to its feet with her inimitable voice, style, and presence. Celia is one of my favorite singers, musicians of all time. I went through a very, very deep Celia phase a few years ago, which coincided with around the time I watched this telenovela. So this telenovela has a very, very soft spot in my heart, though it did have a lot of issues. Well, not a lot. I think all telenovelas have a lot of issues, but I'll talk about it a little bit for this one. But also something I really want to highlight from the top is something that was very special about this telenovela is that it's, I believe, the first telenovela to have both protagonists be Afro-Latinos, and it had so many Afro-Latinos amongst the cast, which is not the norm with most telenovelas. Most telenovelas feature very Eurocentric features of actors, and so it's very, very, very white, which of course does not reflect the reality of Mexico or the rest of Latino America. So this was so cool to see. Fun fact, Celia Cruz actually was in the telenovela, Once she did like one telenovela, but yeah, it was really, really cool to see because obviously that's not the norm, and I really that's part of the reason it has a really, really soft spot in my heart. But also, it introduced me to a lot of really good music that I wasn't used to, and then I got completely obsessed. So now that was kind of a fun fact, but now we're gonna dive a little bit deeper into the fun facts, and I have quite a bit, so buckle up. First fun fact is, I mean, as the title suggests, this was loosely based on Celia Cruz's life, but I really want to emphasize just how loosely that was, because it definitely took creative liberties. It added things for drama, for tension. You know, the telenovela really paints Celia as being this really, really shy person who never considered music as a career, you know? Like, her sister was the one that was begging her to go with her to auditions and everything. And I think in real life, Celia had a lot more autonomy and pursued music a little more intentionally than the telenovela suggests. It kind of shows her just falling into it. But I think in real life, Celia was very much like, you know, she was going to be a singer. Like, she was very, very, I believe, self-assured based on what I've read. And so, yeah, so very loosely, there's also these things that get washed over, or, you know, they get washed over. There's some important stuff about her life that kind of just, you know, you get one episode or something like that, and then it skips over, it does a time jump. So yeah, so there's a lot of differences. And speaking of differences, another fun fact is the character of Lola Calvo is based on a real person, La Lupe. And so Lola Calvo is a character in the telenovela that's presented as kind of a rival to Celia. She is a singer. And the problem, though, with this, the problem with basing this character on a real singer was that it was a choice that didn't land well amongst fans, because in real life, La Lupe was actually very supportive of Celia. They did have a small falling out, but it was like, I think La Lupe disagreed. She like accused someone in Celia's family of being practicing Santeria, and Celia got mad at that. But in real life, they weren't enemies. And kind of in the telenovela, Lola is presented as Celia's rival, kind of shady. But also, Lola is presented to be very much like a victim of, like, you know, sexual assault, and has this weird kind of like incestuous relationship with her manager, who is also her stepfather. So it's like really, really, really bad and weird, and people were pissed about that because they were like, no, you cannot do that. But moving on, the telenovela had two sets of protagonists. The first were Puerto Rican actors Jaime Osorio and Modesto Lacen, and they portray Celia Cruz and Pedro Knight in their younger years as the younger versions. And then the telenovela does a time jump, and that's when you get Aimee Nubiola and Willy Denton, who are Cuban and Puerto Rican respectively, and they play Celia and Pedro in the later years. So there was a time jump, which some people didn't like. I read a lot of criticism for it. I didn't mind it, but I think, you know, you grow very attached to, especially Jaime Osorio. Like, I grew so attached to her Celia, and not to say that Aimee didn't do a good job, because, you know, she did, but like Jamie just has the charisma and the je ne sais quoi that I love. So that was a thing that happened. Another fun fact is Carolina Gaitan, who plays the character of Lola Calvo, would go on to voice Pepa in Encanto. And you know that song, We Don't Talk About Bruno? Yeah, she starts that. That's her voice, which is really, really cool. It was really cool to see how her life kind of blew up a little bit with Encanto. She's been working as an actress for years. She obviously was in Celia, but also she played, when they rebooted Sin Senos, No Hay Paraíso, she played the protagonist in that. So, you know, she's booked and busy, but Encanto definitely brought her to more American audiences, which was really cool to see. Another fun fact is Patricia Padillo is a singer who was actually on, I believe it's like the Voice version of, I forget, oh my god, I need to do better research. But she's a singer who competed in a reality TV singing competition, and her voice was used as Celia Cruz's. And that's not to say that Aime and Jamie didn't sing. They did both sing, but also they used Patricia's voice. I'm not sure how they did it, but I think they mixed it. But yeah, all three women sang, but obviously Patricia didn't portray Celia. But her voice, you will hear it in a telenovela. Another fun fact, and this is really, really lovely, is Aime Nubiola, who plays Celia Cruz in the later years, is actually a singer with Pachito Alonso's orchestra, and she actually met Celia Cruz at a wedding in Mexico. She says in an interview for NPR that it was a very brief encounter, but it kind of like sparked an affinity between both of them, and Celia even gave her career advice, and while she left, took off her these big stone earrings that she was wearing and gave them to Nubiola. So really, really lovely moment. And my last fun fact is that the theme song of this telenovela is a classic Celia Cruz song called La Negra Tiene Tumbao. I never skipped an intro for this telenovela because that's how much I love the song. So now let's go ahead and talk about the plot. And as always, I'm not going to cover everything. There's so much. I mean, it's 80 episodes, which isn't a super long telenovela, but still there's so much that I could cover that I'm not gonna get into because we would be here all day. But that being said, Celia, you can, actually I think Netflix took it out, but you can find it online, and it's one of the few telenovelas that have English subtitles. So for all my non-Spanish speakers, definitely go find it. I really liked it. There, some people don't like how it spiraled towards the end, but I liked it a lot. And so, yeah, now we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the plot, to give you like very broad overview, and then we'll have a little more chisme session. But okay, so the telenovela begins when Celia's aunt Ana has a baby girl who dies. It's really sad. They're at the funeral. And while at the funeral, a priestess tells Aunt Ana that children never die and that the baby will be reborn and come back as someone else. So to know who her baby comes back as, Aunt Ana breaks the baby's pinky finger, and that leaves a mark. And then, a few months later, her sister, Oita, gives birth to a baby girl who has that same finger. That baby girl is, of course, Celia Cruz. And so Celia, we see her, you know, she's like an awkward young girl, teenager, who kind of always follows her sister around, her sister Nuris, who is so obsessed with being a singer. She's kind of made to be annoying, but I actually really liked her character. They definitely want you to be like, oh my god, Nuris, get out, like, leave room for Celia. So they play her as being jealous and just like, you know, not self-aware and not a good singer at all. And so she's always like trying to sing and trying to like get auditions, but of course the real singer in this family is Celia, who is shy. But then just by chance, she ends up, like, anytime she sings, people gather around and are like, what is that voice? Like, there's no one who has a voice like Celia. And that's very much Cruz. That's very much true. I mean, Celia Cruz's voice was so, so special, so specific, so unique. And so then, by a chance, she ends up auditioning for this band orchestra called La Sonora Matancera, and she gets a job as a singer. And this is when the singer of La Sonora is leaving. She is Mirta, and she meets Celia and is really kind to her and is like encourages her to pursue music and tells her she has it. She's got it. She's got the X factor. So then Celia begins singing for the orchestra. And that really, she brings the orchestra further up onto the map, and she ends up blowing up and just having a really successful career that takes her all around the world and solidifies her as one of the legends of Latin music. And, you know, so like we see her relationship with her father, who never wanted her to pursue music, her relationship with her mother, who was always supportive. And, of course, her relationship with Pedro Knight, who is the trumpist, I believe. Trumpist, is that how you say it? For La Sonora. and who is kind of, when we meet him, is kind of a Don John type, very much a mujeriego, but he immediately sees something special in Celia, and so he falls in love with her. They fall in love together, and it is beautiful. It's beautiful. I love their love story. And so we follow them as they reach new career heights with La Sonora, eventually leaving Cuba and arriving to Mexico. And then finally, you know, when she moves to New York City and how she conquers markets and languages and becomes, you know, like the most, probably the most famous salsa singer of all time. And, you know, it follows basically her trajectory. It's very much, it's a story of Celia. Of course, stuff is omitted, stuff is glossed over, stuff is rewritten to make sense for the plot. As I mentioned throughout this whole thing, there's this other singer called Lola Calvo, who's portrayed as like Celia's rival. And Lola has like this really sad story where she's, you know, like her manager and stepfather also like is in love with her. And so she's kind of forced to like sleep with him. It's really, really bad. And yeah, it's just, she has this really tragic story that doesn't end well for her. And so she's this really, I said tragic like a million times, but I'm going to say it again. She's a really tragic figure. But the two things that I really, really want to touch upon, and like I said, this is a very, very broad overview of the plot, is that, you know, every telenovela has a love story. Of course they do. Like, that's part of what makes them a telenovela. And in this one in particular, for me, there were two love stories. The first was, of course, the love story between Celia and Pedro, which, as I mentioned, it's so beautiful. It's lovely. Pedro always supporting Celia, knowing from the beginning that she's destined for greatness and that she's there's something about her that's gonna take her even beyond La Sonora. And that's beautiful. But the second love story is that of Celia in Cuba, her country. And this this was so hard to watch when I first watched it. So I watched it a few years ago, like probably like 6 years ago, when I was, you know, my backstory, my own story is I was born in Mexico and Mexico. There we go again. I was born in Mexico. And I came to the U.S. and for many years I couldn't go back to Mexico. And when I first watched it, I was very much in a position where I couldn't go back. And so all the scenes, because when Celia leaves Cuba, it's when the revolution's about to happen, and they tell her, you know, there's a chance you're not going to come back. And then she still makes that choice to, like, leave. And it's so sad because she has to leave her family. She has to leave her entire life behind. And, of course, she ends up, you know, growing bigger than she probably ever could have in Cuba. But Cuba was her country. It was her home. And she never goes back home. And that was so hard for me to watch. And that was so impactful because in real life, there's videos of Celia Cruz performing. Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the name, but it's one of the territories that the U.S. occupies. And there's videos of her reaching under the fence to get pieces of dirt from Cuba, because it's considered Cuba, and getting pieces of dirt because that's like the closest she'll get to home. And I think she ends up being buried with the dirt she gathered from there. And so it was so sad. And you know, like in real life, like Celia got really sick, and that's how she died. She had cancer. And so when Celia, all this to say, when Celia first left, she didn't think it was actually gonna be forever. And so seeing the telenovela, her always longing to go back to Cuba, to like be able to go back and not being able to, and the scene towards the end when she realizes that, you know, can't, like she's not gonna, like she's sick, she's gonna die, and she's crying in Pedro's arms and is like, I didn't go back. Oh, and that scene destroyed me. It wrecked me emotionally. Like, I should probably sue the creators of this telenovela for emotional damage. But it was very impactful. It was obviously based in reality because Celia did not go back home. And Yeah, and so like the telenovela ends with Celia, of course, you know, passing away, but the spirit and her legacy only growing. And I mean, she's still, I mean, she's hasn't been gone for a whole long time, but she's still popular. Like she's ever present. I think she was larger than life, and her music continues to live on. And so that was Celia. Cried like a baby in the last episode. So if you want to cry with a telenovela, like go watch it. But that's I think that in particular, like the like I said, like the love story between her and Cuba, like I think that's what made it stand out for me, and that's what made me, you know, why this telenovela has a really soft spot in my heart. Like I said, there were a lot of issues. People did not like, you know, some people, well, they're split. Some people did not like Lola's other, loved her character. People thought that the story was very rushed and so criticized it for that because they're like, how are you going to make a biopic about Celia, have 80 episodes, and still somehow not even touch the bare minimum of what her life was like? And so there was like criticisms on that. There was also criticisms on some characters just being completely abandoned. There is a gay love story, which we love because telenovelas don't have that. But those characters kind of like get, again, like just forgotten. One gets lost in a boat or something like that, and then you never hear from them again. So there were like definitely problems, but I think so many telenovelas have like problems with, you know, pacing or with scripts. But like I said, they can never make me hate you, Celia. Like, I love you. And more importantly, I love it so much because, like I said, Jamie Osorio is just an incredible actress. And I really wish we saw her as a lead character more because I don't think I've seen her as a lead in a while. She was last, I think, in a telenovela with Silvia Navarro, our queen, and La Suerte de Lolis. And I don't think I've seen her in a telenovela. I mean, right now she's also done theater acting. I've been following her career. But yeah, I don't think I've seen her as the lead in another telenovela, which I think is a huge mistake. They need to have her booked and busy in another telenovela ASAP or another show just in general. She's an incredible actress. But yes, that in a nutshell, in a very small nutshell, is Celia, the telenovela. I hope you enjoyed the. I never know how to end this. I need to get better at this. I'm so rusty. But that is the end of this episode covering our first Telemundo telenovela. I know there's like it's my first time I cover a Telemundo telenovela. So if you have any suggestions on what other Telemundo telenovelas I could cover, let me know. As a reminder, as we go on, I have three telenovelas left to cover, and then basically it's free rein for suggestions. Which actually, right before I recorded this, I got an email from a listener whom I believe is in Australia. I glanced at the email, I haven't read it. I'm gonna respond, I promise. This is my accountability. I'm gonna respond to you. But one, Australia, hello, that is so exciting. And you know, sometimes I think that y'all aren't real, which is so funny, but like I love hearing from you. So I heard from a listener in Australia who suggested I cover the La Usurpadora musical, which absolutely, fun fact. So y'all know I'm in my Hollywood era, so I'm out here in LA. Moved here 2 years ago to pursue a career in entertainment, so I've been pursuing that on the side. It's going pretty well. Obviously, I'm no, como se dice? I'm no star, but like things are going well. I actually met someone who worked on the production of that musical, and she told me about it before it even came out. So like I always love hearing about stuff before they come out. So I actually knew about the musical before it came out. But all that to say, all that shameless, what's the word when you are always name dropping, all that shameless name dropping to say that it's definitely in my radar. And actually, for that one, I'm gonna watch it. It's called La Usurpadora, the musical. They actually, I believe, I haven't watched it, but based on what the homegirl I met told me, is they got esta, ¿cómo se llama? Gaby Spanik to do a cameo in it. So I'm gonna watch it, and I'm definitely, I think that's one of the episodes I can cover over the summer when I'm doing less episodes, but I think that would also make a really good YouTube video to talk about that and compare it to the telenovela. So stay tuned for that, and thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate you all so much. Please reach out if you have any ideas, suggestions, and yeah, take care, y'all. Appreciate you. And we're out. Bye.